I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I want you to struggle and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Correct, Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 9.06 p.m. You are turning into the Orange and True broadcast. I'm your host, not Son of Crow, but Ryan Starrett. On Twitter, at Ryan S. Starrett, and the S stands for... Do you guys know what the S stands for? I don't think you do.
Stats?
Sanitary.
Stud recruits?
I'll keep it secret for now. To one side of me, across the magic of the internet, the man with some rocking blue light-up headphones, AU Chief.
Hello.
And on the other side, filling in for Son of Crow, the man who follows way more 18-year-olds on social media than you do, hopefully. Hey, you nerd.
Somebody's got to do it.
Well, that depends if you're that depends if you're in the, you know, 16 to 25 crowd, you probably follow more 18-year-olds than he does.
There's no 16-year-olds that listen to us, is there?
Your sister?
She has listened to us. I don't think she's a weekly listener.
She dropped out early.
She's not a listener.
Pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right off the top, in the spirit of our missing co-host, let's talk about Luka Doncic.
You mean the greatest player in the world?
I mean, one of two. He was a part of a trade where he and the other guy was a pretty equal trade, I think.
Okay, Ryan. Whatever helps you sleep at night. Man, is there anyone that thinks that was a good trade?
Trae Young.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, I guess he's the only one. Well, no. Does he think that's a good trade? Wouldn't he rather be in Dallas?
I don't know. I mean, what's the perception about being in Dallas versus Atlanta?
I mean, they've won a basketball championship. And
oh, okay. I was talking about the city. But...
Oh, Dallas is cool. I like Dallas better than Atlanta, I think.
How are the wings in Dallas, though?
They got Wingstop.
Wingstop, Magic City.
No, well, yeah. Luka did. I mean, he's one of only. There's a ridiculously low number of players that have done what he did, in that game. He's the youngest player to ever
by far score, the youngest
to have a triple double and score 40 points.
Get a game winner.
And he sparked a great discussion on Inside the NBA between Chuck, Shaq, Ernie, and Kenny.
I've got that sound clip of Ernie that I'm never going to delete that one.
Is that your ringtone now?
Can I say it?
Austin's a really easily shoutable name, which I think is a super positive. If you're going to be burying game-winning threes name that's just...
Yeah, two syllables.
Rolls off the tongue as you scream it drunkenly from the crowd.
Yeah.
Is Luka going to be the next everybody has his jersey, even if they're not a Dallas fan? Is he going to be the next one of those?
Probably, yeah.
Because like it was Steph for a while.
Sure.
You know, plenty of LeBrons.
A lot of kids are going to like this guy, I think.
Right.
Got Steph, Luka, Okoro. There's kind of just, that's kind of where the.
Yeah,
for the later, this is clearly going.
Next in the pipeline.
Top three players.
So, speaking of Isaac, there's a chance, not likely, but there's a chance that he could be the highest draft pick out of Auburn in NBA history.
Sure.
That is wild. Because like I know we're all big fans of him here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about him plenty on this show before, but... We don't view him that way, though. I don't think like he's not on the Mount Rushmore of Auburn basketball.
Well, because he was only here a year.
Yeah. Right. And he didn't get to play any postseason games.
So. Yeah, he didn't even play 30 games, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 30, but just right here.
Right. Right. But 10 years from now, 15 years from now, like we might look back and be like, oh, yeah, he was, you know, Charles Barkley.
Sure.
Chuck Person.
And even like, Isaac Okoro,
those are the best players in Auburn history.
And it wasn't like he was putting up like 30 a night either. Like, it's right. Very, I mean, obviously, there's, right. I think it speaks to him as a player, but, you know, usually when you think about it, you're like, oh, man, I watched him drop, you know, like, you know, I think when like Ben Simmons used to do at LSU or like Anthony Edwards was doing at Georgia, which kind of makes it even crazier because you're like, how good you have to be to be this wanted.
Oh, I do remember Anthony Edwards having a pretty garbage game against Isaac Okoro. So,
yep. Well, Isaac was our entire defense, basically. Like, without him, we had a huge drop off.
Those two games made it very clear where that team was without him.
Yeah, I mean, and even though there were some other decent defenders on the team, it's just he was the only guy that could defend the perimeter consistently.
Yeah, well, it would be like a lineup in baseball losing its cleanup hitter. Like,
sure.
Everybody has to move up in the order, and like it just doesn't work as well.
Yeah,
you know, when you have Isaac, he lets everybody else look better.
Well,
because he's taking on the brunt of whoever the best player is.
I think what has him rated so highly. I, coming out of high school, everybody knew he could defend 1 through 5, basically.
Right.
And it was just a question of, well, this guy doesn't really score a lot because he didn't in high school. And I mean, there were games where he did score. You know, his 3-point shooting was okay. It wasn't great.
It was pretty below average.
Yeah.
To be honest. I mean, for a lottery pick, it's bad.
To be honest. Right. But he can get to the rim.
Right.
And there's just the fact that he can defend anybody is what's going to get him drafted so highly. I think, you know, if he could shoot, if he had been able to shoot 28% from three, I think maybe you see him go a lot higher, but I think it was down closer to 20%, wasn't it? Or 22? I think
it was like 25.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. If he had broken the 30% mark,
yeah. If
he
got,
which is 30% means you're an acceptable 3-point shooter. They'll let you do it a little bit.
Yeah, I think
a good 3-point shooter should be closer to 40. But
yeah, if he was in the 30s, he would probably be
a top 3 pick.
Top 3 pick. Yeah, exactly. Which is not to say that's right, because I think Isaac Okoro is a great player who can contribute without having to shoot a bunch of threes. And some team's going to get a steal because they know that. So
where he's projected to go, he's kind of a 4th to 8th pick in that range.
Yep.
So that would either be the Bulls, the Cavs, the Hawks, the Pistons, or the Knicks.
Oh.
Doesn't look great there.
No. The Hawks are the only team that I would really even think he should go to, would be happy for him to go to. Cause he, you know, hometown.
Yeah. They have an established star. I mean, I know I joke about Trae Young. He's not one of the best players in the league, but he is a star.
Sure.
And he needs all the help he can get.
Yeah. Somebody's got to play defense. Cause he doesn't.
Right. Other than that, I mean, I think 4 might be a little bit high, but you know, Chicago at least would be a big market.
Sure.
There'd be eyeballs on them. Hopefully it's not Cleveland or Detroit or New York. The only plus thing with New York is if Jared's playing.
But, sure.
And
I think everybody's hope is that he sneaks up there to the Warriors.
Number 2.
Yeah.
Well, then there's the nightmare if you want him to go high, but ideal situation coaching wise at number 11 with the Spurs. I think that might be a good fit for him, but
yeah. Oh, he's a like Spurs player through and through, like a guy that just works, doesn't, you know, it's not super flashy or anything.
He's the next Tim Duncan, as
far as yeah, exactly.
Somebody's got, I mean, they lost that with Kawhi, but
yeah, he's not a weirdo like either one of those guys are. It's a shame that Kawhi didn't work out there, because they're known for their like weirdo marquee player. They had David Robinson, who's kind of a weirdo by NBA standards. They had Tim Duncan, who's kind of a weirdo by NBA standards. And then they had Kawhi, who's just a super weirdo by anybody's standards, I think.
The board man. And then, you know, Pop is the weirdo among NBA coaches.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into what we actually brought Nerd here for. Let's talk a little bit of recruiting. I mean, I think we've hit before on last year's class. You know, they're all on campus now. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Nerd. Everybody is on campus, correct?
Yeah, everyone. I believe everyone made it to campus. I don't remember of any that didn't.
Does that include the guy that reclassified?
He just arrived Sunday. So he's going through apparently there's like a mandatory acclimation process or something he's going through right now. But yeah, he's there.
I hope they make him go through Camp War Eagle.
Probably. It's probably the last.
That poor guy. He'll decommit.
So there are a couple of guys that have, you know, look good as far as we can tell. I mean, we haven't seen anything from practice or really gotten any news out of it, but it sounds like Tank is everything he's been hyped up to be, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting. Bo mentioned when they were asked about young guys, he only mentioned three guys. One was, which is apparently the way he spelled it, Shale. I think it's Shale Garnett, the freshman quarterback. Who makes sense because he works with them.
I think he was a part of our recruit or Star Wars character game.
But. Yeah. and the other two he mentioned was Tank at running back and Zavian or Sevian. I don't know how to fully pronounce the capers at wide receiver. So I do think that's pretty telling of who's at least stood out to him in the first week of practice. But you're right, not much has come out. I mean, there hasn't even been like people, you know, usually with these practices, someone's like, you know, my dad's uncle attended practice and he told me that they saw these things on, like, there's not even that going out right now.
Yeah. On the internet. I have a feeling the guest list is extremely limited currently for practice, which I think we talked about this before, but this is like Gus's like dream scenario. Like, he has an excuse to keep everyone out of practice so that he can hide everything.
Doesn't have to tell anybody anything. The only clips from practice are the 90-second highlight reels.
Demo videos that only show you like 2 seconds of a play.
Oh, that was a good cut, I think.
But we can rely on Nerd to extrapolate from those 90-second videos.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, that 3-second run Tank made, it looked like Dalvin Cook in an Auburn uniform. So I think... like it falls pretty easily from there.
Now we did hear a tight end, like 4 tight ends caught passes or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think they said like 5 passes were completed. And I think each of the freshmen got one. I know Frazier got one. There's like a picture of him catching the ball. So you know, it's real.
I still am just, my jaw drops every time I realize how big he is.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm looking at the commit list right now. He's 6'7", 250 as a high school.
Yeah, and if you watch his tape, it's a lot of tight end film. What you watch is you watch these guys at the 20-yard line, like they're at the red zone, and they throw up a ball into the back corner, and he jumps over 2 guys.
Yeah, they're just rebounding it pretty much.
Yeah, you watch Frazier's film, and they're throwing it to like on a slant or like just a hitch, and he's catching it, turning and outrunning the defense to the end zone. I don't think Auburn's had – I mean, I think the closest talent Auburn's had like that, just in that type of body, is probably Uzuma. But I'm not sure – I think Frazier could have more speed, top-end speed.
You were going to say Lorenzo Diamond.
But, oh, yeah.
That kind of sounds like a Mike Evans type guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's even bigger than Evans. Yeah, I mean, he's
still have nightmares of that game in 2013 of just except, tunnel except screen, tunnel guy, screen, tunnel screen. Yeah.
Except this guy's played football before. Mike Evans, I think, just played basketball.
I'll just figure this out as I got here and just bomb on everybody, literally everybody. Yeah, no, and then you have on the other side of the schedule, you have Pegues, who's literally listed at 6'2", 300 pounds.
Good Lord.
But I know in the past, I don't know if it's still there, but he's been legitimately clocked at a 4'6 in the past. So in terms of just...
How is he not playing like guard or something?
Well, I think there's all sorts of like... I know there's quite a few teams wanted him at defensive line, and it wouldn't shock me if by the end of his career, he was a defensive lineman.
Yeah, you know, Garner's over there like, God, get this guy on my side of the ball.
he's Gus's shiny new toy, so he's not going over there anytime yet. I fully expect at least one Wildcat snap.
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, because
he's definitely the one once the NCAA rosters get updated from Operation Sports where I'm just going to run the entire offense through him.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting because I think, but just going back to the freshman period, you know, Tank, Capers have both been mentioned. There's been talk about the two freshman defensive linemen, Zacchaeus Walker, who Auburn's coaching staff apparently saw him a lot of Marlon Davidson and his just general makeup, just not the player.
Speaking my language.
His attitude and stuff, yeah. And then Jay Hardy's the other one that I think there's been some buzz about. And then Damio. Damio's the JUCO kid. He's gotten a ton of hype. I mean, I think I'll be shocked if he's not starting. And that's not a shock. I think Pritchett's got a chance to be a pretty good player, but there's a lot of just that this kid's a physical freak. So obviously all the freshmen are going to be super good. I mean, that's how it always is. Every true freshman is clearly going to be the next great freshman. So
all freshmen, all Americans, right?
Yeah. And now that we can't see them, it's even more on track. So
yeah, it's going to be a very interesting for freshmen. Cause you know, usually you like worry about them going on the road to like Death Valley or something like that and having to play. Yeah. But now, I mean, it's just a weird vibe. Like they'll go these places and it won't really be a big deal. It'll just be a different field that they're on, and that's it. That's the only home field advantage anybody's going to have.
They didn't have to travel the night before.
Yeah, right.
And Gus even said that because they were able to do walkthroughs, like this new ruling around since they missed spring, that this freshman, that this is the most prepared freshman class, at least in terms of like, they've already got the install in, like they understand the basics of the systems. That's why they're able to scrimmage just this quickly. Because it's definitely going to be, it's going to be a weird, I mean, it was obviously going to be a weird year, but it's just even weirder when you like actually start seeing it unfold.
Yeah.
And because you're really not going to have any idea what this team looks like until they hit the field. Cause you know, the depth chart's going to come out. It's going to have like 8 oars at each position. Every player will be listed. Like we really won't know until they play.
Well, Gus won't know who his running back is until 4 weeks in. Though with the shortened schedule, maybe he'll know 3 weeks in instead of the usual 4.
Somebody's going to just put up 150 against Georgia and they'll be the guy.
Man.
Yeah.
The 2020 will be okay if Tank Bigsby rushed for 150 yards on Georgia. You know, I think I could live with
stomach with that.
Week 2 freshman running for 150 in Georgia. Incredible.
Well, let's look at the 2021 class. Starting to come together the last couple weeks. It was a little slow over the summer, but yeah, picked up a couple commits. And then, as is tradition, everybody fell back in the rankings.
Rivals took a dump on the class today. Yeah, even for rival standards, which is pretty low anyway. But yeah, no, the class is definitely coming out. I think what's been interesting about this cycle is that it's been very kind of start and stop for Auburn. I think they entered May, or they were about to leave the month of May with like 4 commits. It was a very small class. There's kind of some concerns. You're watching other teams start to pile up commits, most notably Tennessee, just land commit after commit. And then Auburn had 3 pop in one day, which I've not seen happen at Auburn. And by June they had doubled the size of the class. But then things went cold again. Like the month of July, they had some tough misses that month. There were some guys I think that Auburn thought were coming. Most notably the Bama commit, Christian Leary, who ended up going elsewhere. And he had Cameron Kitchens go to Miami. And then it kind of picked back up in August. He had the double boom on August 1st, which, you know, Rodney Garner, you never, you can other positions can give your heartburn when you're watching recruiting unfold, but defensive line is not one of them, and he's already got most of his pieces in place.
Yeah, I swear we were talking in our staff group chat about, oh, you know, what's going on in the defensive line? Like, Garner hasn't added anybody in a while. We kind of need some commits there. And sure enough, the next day, it was bam, yeah, just picking up the guys.
And you know that one of these guys is eventually going to turn into an outstanding offensive lineman, probably, you know, a really good tackle or guard. That was a big, you know, the two pickups. The first, you had Marquise Robinson, who fits that mold of Dontavius Russell and Tyrone Truesdale, the gap plugger that's going to allow Lee Hunter, Auburn's highest rated commit, to feast, because he's going to be eating double teams. And then you got another, I'm going to butcher his name. It's like a Tebeki Akoli, which I just want to throw out there. Okay, you know, I'm a pretend expert. But to be a pretend expert, you every now and then have to guess right. And I was the only one that had this guy in a class prediction over the summer. So I'm just going to give myself a big pat on the back.
I mean, you did the legwork. You had the sources. Yes,
I did. I worked the sources.
You knew what you were doing.
Yeah, I just grinded on the phone. I just grinded my phone until it gave me an answer. I think that's how this works.
But really did work pretty hard, right? You trolled.
I don't know details. I don't know if we don't need to get into details or anything. You know,
okay, all right.
I don't want to burn any sources here. But I would deeper than that's probably advisable. But you know, but as for the kid himself, he's another fascinating. I mean, he's another. I don't know if he personally was born in Nigeria, but his family is originally from Nigeria, and he only just recently started playing football. I think last year was the first time he did 11-on-11. He's from Missouri, and he could play everywhere. Like, I'm not really sure where he's going to grow into because he's still so kind of raw. But that commitment was the first time I've ever actually visited a Nebraska board, a Nebraska message board, because this was a kid that was like their guy. This was like the top defensive lineman on their board. Aww. And it was pretty fun to watch Nebraska fans melt over Auburn recruit. It's not something you see a lot of.
On Scott Frost Day, too.
Oh, yeah. Scott Frost. Yeah. So got both those. And then recently, Auburn's picked up two more commits in the secondary. One's a JUCO, Kamal Hayden. I think Auburn has, the plan has always been for Auburn to take one JUCO in this class. And my assumption is that's because they expect at least one member of this talented junior DB class to go to the NFL, someone like McCreary or Sherwood or something like that. And so they can have someone that can step in day one. Hayden can play all over the place. Wiry kid. He's long. He's another big body. And then the most recent commit was like a few months ago. This would have just been, you know, everybody expected it when it happened because all the crystal balls and all those things had flipped over to Auburn for this. But 3 months ago, this would have been insane. But Amari Harvey, who's a four-star safety, he attends Florida State University School, and they are the Seminoles, and they have literally Florida State's uniform. But they're high school.
Okay.
In Tallahassee. You know, recently, maybe they're about the same level as Florida State.
Probably a little bit better offensive line.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. But this was a kid that they had, I mean, banking on as a guy that would be in their class. But Wesley McGriff and per, I think it was Keith Niebuhr talked about this, Al Polk was a big part. He's the area recruiter for this. Kind of helped Auburn get things going. And so that was a big pickup because this is a kid that can play anywhere in the back end. He'll probably stick at I think he's more of a free safety. He works best playing deep and reacting to the quarterback and coming downhill. But that was a big one. And he's good buddies with Kool-Aid. He's good friends with JaQuincy McKinstry. He's already working on him. So this defensive class has a chance to be, if some proper dominoes fall, it's got a chance to be one of the better ones Auburn's pool. And that's saying something, at least on paper. And that's kind of saying something, especially after last year's class.
Cool.
Well, it'll be good to add to the basketball depth with this recruiting class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
speaking so, of, so there, speaking there's of a highlight. Kool-Aid, isn't he the one that had the Auburn towel?
He did. He had LSU gloves on and an Auburn towel.
Interesting.
And his good buddy Jeremiah, aka Scooby Williams, was also sporting an Auburn towel. So, you know, who knows what that means.
There's a highlight from their game this past weekend, because, you know, high school football is just full steam ahead. Where
yellow.
It's Armani Goodwin just blew right by him in the secondary, right? So it was like a 70-yard touchdown run for Hewitt Trussell there.
Goodwin has the, you know, the bad thing.
That's Lydia's favorite school, Hewitt Trussell.
Sorry. Shout out.
Yes. Goodwin has the bad part of being one of the, like, the first commits is people tend to, like, forget about you. Like, they stop talking about you. I remember that used to happen with Gatewood and Shivers, where it was like these guys get on so early that people kind of forget about him. Plus, he was injured last year. And so I think a lot of people forget this dude is really, really good. I mean, this is not a deep running back class. There's three or four legitimate elite backs, and he's one of them. He put on a show. I mean, there's a lot of people, including himself, are kind of concerned, like, is he going to be back full speed? What has he got? And he just obliterated Pennsylvania. Yeah, and one of them is him running by Kool-Aid. And there's another play later on where Kool-Aid takes a business decision to not take on Goodwin head on, because he's a load too. That kid's a stud.
Well, those highlights, I'm sure we'll see them make the rounds again over the next couple of years, either because it's like, man, you know, this was just two great Auburn players just going at it, you know, back in the high school days, or because, you know, it was just Armani Goodwin punking them because Kool-Aid's playing at LSU or Bama or something like that.
Yeah, it was. I didn't expect him to have such a strong performance as he did, because Mensa Valley's a solid program, and he just ran right through him.
Excellent.
Let's take a break real quick.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we're back. All right. So, you know, one of the things that I like to do on here, especially when Crow's here, but we can do this without him, is to just see what you guys, if you're keeping up with what's going on in the football world. Let's see if you guys realize how close games are, how close we are to actual theoretical college football.
Okay.
Do either of you know when the first games are? The first FBS football game is?
September.
Now the UAB's got one.
Sixth.
Does UAB have one like this weekend or something crazy?
Not quite this weekend. Although I think there is an FCS game this weekend. I don't have that one on the calendar, but Thursday, September 3rd.
Oh,
we are about a week out from when you're listening to this. It'll be football season. Two in-state programs not playing each other. But USA will be playing Southern Miss, and Central Arkansas will be playing UAB. Hmm. It'll be back on the field, theoretically.
Interesting.
And then there's a decent slate that first Saturday on the 5th, Labor Day weekend. We'll see. Crow's SMU will be playing Texas State, ULM and Troy. Look, I mean, the three biggest programs in the state of Alabama are all playing Labor Day weekend, so... gonna leave that there. Arkansas State, Memphis, MTSU, Army, Houston Baptist, North Texas, little Texas rivalry, I think.
Interesting.
BYU Navy on Monday on Labor Day. Any of that pique your interest?
I might watch BYU Navy.
Yeah, that's an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
I'm probably MTSU just gonna watch Army is definitely the first game comes on. I'm just going to watch it just out of respect.
You watch that USA.
Well, it might be the only football.
It might be the only time everyone breaks out with COVID after the game. But
I know that MTSU Army game is definitely one of my like NCAA 14 dynasty. Like two of those programs I've used.
Yeah. And then it really gets kicked off the next weekend after that, right? That's when.
So the weekend after that, upset special, we've got UAB going to Miami on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I will definitely be watching that one. But yeah, the ACC and Big 12 both kick off on the 12th.
Is that when Florida State plays? When's the weekend? Do they play Jacksonville State on that opening weekend? Because I really want to watch that one. I'm fascinated by that one.
I'm looking. I don't even see. Hang on.
Maybe they're not.
No, they're playing Georgia Tech opening weekend.
Oh, okay. There you go. I guess I knew. Jeff Collins was there last year.
We'll have to figure out what the supposed game day would be for each of these weeks. You know, I think it would be kind of funny if they decided to go to campus, but you couldn't have anybody there.
Yeah.
It's just set up the stage, no one behind it.
So weird.
Yeah. I mean, not a lot of good games that first weekend. It's mostly a lot of these ACC schools and Big 12 schools playing their plus one game. Okay. I mean, if you're into Duke, Notre Dame, or could watch Clemson wipe the floor with Wake Forest. Really, I think the primetime game is that UAB-Miami game.
Wow. Okay. So then it really doesn't get cooking until the following weekend.
Clemson Citadel?
Okay.
BYU plays Army. There's another BYU versus Academy game. Man, you would think that the ACC would take advantage of non-SEC weekends. Like, you get 3 weeks before the SEC.
Oh, they're taking advantage of it. They know what's coming.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to serve some people up. You know, just serve some coastal teams up just to get things rolling, get people excited again.
Look, I guess if Clemson's entire schedule is only Wake Forest and the Citadel, and then they have to cancel the season, I mean,
national champs.
They'll be national champs by winning their games by an average of 60 points.
Yeah. Man, that is going to be depressing if that's how that ends up. Oh, man.
You know Bama will claim it, though.
Of course.
And so speaking of Bama, what's going on with the dorms over there right now? It's kind of a breaking news story.
So after looking into it a little bit, it appears that there's a Burke, which is a dorm I'm familiar with. It's Burke West. They're consolidating some of the dorms. They have vacancies in a lot of the other dorms, as well as Burke also had a ton of vacancies in it, apparently, which the last time I was there was also the case. So
is
they
that
are,
an apartment style dorm or is that traditional, like a hill or quad style?
I think Burke. Like I can't remember. I think they have shared bathrooms there.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. Haley lived in a few different dorms. She was an RA at Burke though.
Hey, bring her on the show. We need an expert.
She's asleep. they are consolidating those dorms, and they just notified these kids today if they are moving out in the morning. And so they have to get all their stuff packed up tonight. And there's been a lot of people freaking out about it. What it really is that this dorm must have had the most vacancies in it. And so they're able to clear it out easier so they can use it for isolation rooms.
Okay.
For people with COVID on campus. That appears to be what they're actually doing with this.
So just pack all the sick ones in there together.
Right.
Don't let them mingle with the rest of the population.
Now, the issue is they're moving people out and just throwing them in rooms with other people, like splitting up roommates. which the a parent of one of them who is an actor in Huntsville pointed out.
Real good stage scene there.
He did make a good point that his daughter and her roommate like know where they've been, so they're able to, you know, to know that neither one of them has COVID, but now they're just getting tossed in with people they don't know because they got split up. They're not going to be roommates anymore. So
I mean, the perfect game to play during a pandemic is speed dating for college roommates.
Yeah.
You know, just mix everybody up, make sure they all get to know each other.
Yeah, some of these people are going to be right back in Burke in isolation after they.
Like if I knew I got told today and I was moving tomorrow, I mean, what time do the bars open? Not worried about packing.
Yeah. The COVID has made things weird. I'm guessing they had so many vacancies because people had opted out of going to campus. Or whatever. I
would assume so. Yeah.
At the last minute. I don't think Burke was a freshman dorm, but things could be much different. My wife graduated a million years ago now. So,
you know.
Well, she graduated before I did.
I was about to say, just because she got done in 4 years.
Even though, she got done in three.
Oh, okay. Even better.
Yeah.
She could have got 2 degrees before you did.
Well, she does have 2 degrees, but
okay. Well,
she didn't finish them both before I did my one though. Dang it. But yeah, that's what's going on there. Hopefully Auburn has planned a little better than having to move people out in the middle of the night.
It feels like it, but you know, I don't want to assume.
Right.
It does feel like we're kind of right behind Tuscaloosa. I mean, they closed the door, closed the bars. What was it, yesterday?
Yeah.
For two, 3 weeks.
And as you're listening to this, Auburn has probably closed theirs as well.
Yeah. City council's having some meetings and
yeah. I'll put it this way. They've already had a vote, their public vote. Their public vote probably happened tonight, but I haven't seen anything yet. So,
okay. Well, I would kind of expect Auburn to be right behind them on that. Maybe now, Opelika too. I don't know.
No, I don't know. You know, I think Tuscaloosa closed theirs for 2 weeks. I'm not really sure what they expect to happen in two
weeks. You got to flatten the curve. Flatten the curve real quick.
Okay.
Flatten the curve. You know, get some public education going on. Teach everybody how to wash their hands, social distance. and it'll all be fine.
I think I have mentioned this on the pod already before, but the one thing this the pandemic has taught me is that nobody washed their hands before, and I'm a little grossed out by it. Because you still can't find soap, and you're still only limited to one thing when you can. And that was never the case before, which tells me no one was washing their hands. But yeah, in 2 weeks, the virus will still be here, and those same people are still going to want to go to the bar. So I guess it's buying time.
Yeah. But what did we say 6 months ago? You know, shutting down for a month was supposed to buy time.
Right.
But when you buy time, you've got to do something with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Some office on campus passed or some sort of
rule student affairs. Yeah.
Yeah. Some official sounding thing that's probably not. That powerful.
Oh yeah, it's the Department of Student Affairs said that they no gatherings, you know, no campus related events of 50 or more people until October 10th. Which the immediate question was, well, okay, what about football?
And well, that doesn't count.
Not an hour later, there was a statement of this doesn't affect football. Don't worry, guys. They're exempt.
I wonder what about the big auditorium classes, like
for football practice?
No, like for classes, like, you know, some of those giant auditoriums hold more than 100 people.
I think a lot of those might have already been moved online. I know they've been doing a few ones. Like there's already like a number of classes people. Man. Only like there's only like a few classes people are actually going UNT on campus.
If only I could have taken chemistry online, I might be a pharmacist right now.
That's the only thing that held you back. You know, was physically being present there.
It reminds me of the conversation we had about alternate universes where we went to the schools that sent us mail in high school.
Oh yeah.
Of what, you know, what are other options? What are the timelines would have been? I didn't get anything hardly from anybody except for I think Miami.
You're wearing a robe out in Sewanee up there in the mountains, you know.
I'd be a giant State fan, be the Starkville's biggest proponent right now. If,
you might have been the bag man that got Cam Newton there.
Yeah, yeah. I would be sure that my childhood team Auburn cheated me and my Bulldogs out of a national championship right now. Even though we were the ones
allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly. Well, I would be convinced.
Oh, it's random off topic. Y'all, breaking news. I don't know if y'all have seen this week. Turns out Cam Newton's still a good quarterback.
Oh.
Speaking of him.
Really? See, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I thought Jarrett Stidham might beat him out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of character concerns with Cam, you know, in comparison to Stidham. But no, it turns out, you know, he could still play football at a decent level.
They should require the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme to play every time the Panthers logo appears on screen anywhere this season for what they've done.
It has been, I've been like kind of paying attention to the Patriots fan base, which has been an interesting experience through this, just because I was like, when, especially Stidham, and they spent a lot of months convincing themselves Stidham was Brady, was like going to be the next Brady.
Yeah, and then they had to
shift
gears.
Does it have to do with the fact that, well, I guess they don't play in Boston, but, you know, they're Boston.
Yeah.
They're playing Hartford? Where do they play?
Foxborough.
Yeah, Foxborough. Oh. And then very suddenly now, they're having to adjust to the actual real world, where it turns out Cam Newton is a better quarterback than Jarrett Stidham. And I like Stidham. I don't dislike Stidham, but
the question is Cam Newton better than Brian Hoyer?
Now that's where it gets questioned, you know. Grittiness, you know, lunch pail attitude. Those are things that Cam's got to get over if he's gonna beat out someone like Hoyer.
It's gonna be interesting to see. I don't know what kind of weapons the Patriots have, but they are known for having a better football program than the Carolina Panthers. So
I know is that whatever weapons they have will work properly. Yes. We don't know their names, but they'll do what they're supposed to do.
Auburn fans will know their names. Will Hastings still
is still there?
Well, he got cut team. And then he got immediately brought
back.
Right,
that's right. That's right.
Is he on the scout team though? So he'll be spending a lot of time with his friend Jarrett.
Hey, Stidham used to be a wide receiver. You remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Might be a weapon. Got to get him on the field somehow.
Yeah, that's good news. The rehabilitation of Cam Newton has is working out for him, so that's good. Imagine writing him off. Imagine writing Cam Newton off.
Writing him off.
I mean, Cam Newton going from one program that you know, maybe their relationship had soured and goes to another program and it all kind of clicks.
There's nothing. That's interesting. You know what? I hate the Patriots, but there's nothing I'd like more for them to win a national Super Bowl this year.
I'm hoping the whole thing. I'm hoping he brings back Dabbin. I'm hoping, you know, Superman. Just pure as Cam as it gets. I want headscarves after every victory.
Yeah, your auntie after auntie Cam.
Just Cam everywhere, all the symbols, just everything.
I could do without the new hair. I'm not a huge fan of whatever he's doing there. But you know what? If it's working, it's working. Whatever.
Well, that and you know, if they let families come to Auburn games this year as part of that 20% capacity, Cecil Newton will be in the stadium.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Kalen's on our
2020 team. We're back.
Does Kalen have 2 years of eligibility left?
He's got three.
Three? I thought he played two.
No,
two
I think it's just two. I think it's two. Sorry, my dog's losing to an imaginary creature. All right.
All right. Hey, dog. I'm excited about the Newton family.
Just going to wake up the whole household. but Kalen's a junior, I believe.
Okay.
All right.
So he's, I didn't realize this, and this is a super random tangent, but I didn't realize he's built like a running back. He's like 5'11", 205, something crazy.
Didn't get the height from his brother?
No, he didn't. He did not get the height from his brother. But which is probably why he's not a Division One quarterback, is what I would guess. He's not terribly short. 5'11" is not.
No. You know,
but you know,
it's not 6'5", 235.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, again, the video they showed of Cam and Jarrett looks like a child next to him, and Jarrett's like 6'1", right? 6 foot, something, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think he's like 6'2", 6'3".
I think he's listed at 6'2".
Well,
not sure he's actually that tall. Yeah. In Patriots fans' defense, I think they spent most of last year convincing themselves that Jarrett could be as good as Tom Brady, and then to have to readjust to not to, to someone else coming in, I think took a little period of transition, I suppose.
Sure.
And then also there is the reputation of Boston of being sort of a we'll say unwelcoming place.
We can leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll end there.
Okay.
Well, nice tight 45-minute episode. Thanks for coming on, Nerd.
Well, that happy note.
Yeah, thanks, Nerd.
Yeah, we appreciate the professional insight that we don't usually have on a show like this. But
well, you know, when it comes to professionalism, you know, that's right. I'm gonna get back to grinding my phone. Like, you know, make a little bit more things.
You know, I heard the pros these days actually use Venmo. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah,
to get their sources.
Yeah,
just a thought, might help.
You just pay the recruits to tell you where they're going.
But it's not like paying them to come to a certain school.
Yeah. You know, there's no impropriety there. Scoop.
Interesting. I wonder if I can work something out with Vox on this. You know, they're pretty open with their wallets.
Yeah, so. Let's run this by them. Maybe they'll be into it. You gotta pay your sources sometimes.
Yeah. That's even better one.
All right. Well, next week.